Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Lots of Laughs, work advice from me, and of course, movie torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch your podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back or welcome to Locks of Laps Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Arpel Steinbach. And today's guest is, guess what? Another casting director, but this time it's a casting director with a twist. Because he casts for hosting gigs like QVC, HSN, Lifetime. His name is Sean DeSimone. I've auditioned for him 6 or 7 times. I kind of lost count. Fingers crossed one day, right? But before we bring him on, please like and subscribe anywhere you are listening to this podcast. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, our handle is at Locks of Laughs Podcast. Locks is L-O-X-X, like your ex-boyfriend. We hate him. Of Laughs Podcast. If you'd like to follow me personally, my Instagram is at That's Ashley's Kitchen. All right, without further ado, that's terrible. Welcome, Sean DeSimone. Sean DeSimone, thank you for coming on Locks of Laughs Podcast.
Absolutely.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. We've been chatting off and on for years. For projects.
I know.
So when you reached out, I was happy to come on and chat all things TV host casting, which is what we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, exactly what we're going to talk about. I'm really excited, and I have to tell you how embarrassed I was yesterday when we were originally supposed to record, and I don't know what happened. It's never happened to me before. I know everybody says that, but I don't know what happened.
Well, after that happened yesterday, I just kept reminding myself last night, make sure you remember that you're doing it today, because
right.
I didn't want to not come today after yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I mean, hey, that's why the Google, what is it? The Google invite or calendar invite. That's why it works. Everybody say hi if you're watching to my cat Stormy, who's behind me. She's always a special co-host. Okay, Sean, before we jump into it, what are you noshing on today or this week?
Well, this is interesting. I recently relocated from the East Coast to the West Coast, and
right.
No offense to West Coasters who eat pizza, but y'all don't know what pizza is.
No, 100%.
I have been trying to find a slice of pizza to eat, and I cannot find one that I enjoy. And ironically, I was driving by Whole Foods, and mm-hmm. I had not been in Whole Foods here where I'm located. And I wanted to see what the prepared food section looked like. And I was like, wow, Whole Foods has pizza? And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I have to tell you, it is now going to be my pizza place because I can't find a good pizza anywhere where I live. So it is the Whole Foods pizza. Believe
and
it
it's
not.
Is it good? I mean,
yes, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I would give it a 7.
Wow.
Up to the crust. And then I would stop at the crust and I would go down to maybe like a 6.
Why? What's wrong with the crust?
It was like, it wasn't, I mean, I lived in New York for 30 years, so I'm used to a very specific type of pizza, and it was lacking the crunchiness of I don't know if you're a crust eater or not. That's what it boils down to.
When I was younger, funny enough, growing up in New York, I didn't love the crust. And then as I got older and every time I went back to New York, I now eat the crust every time I go back to New York. But where in New York did you live for 30 years?
Well, the East Village.
Oh, I got a fake ID there a few times.
East Village?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. It was... I mean, we're talking like 20 years ago. I don't remember.
I mean, the East Village 20 years ago was a place where you would get a fake ID. I'm not surprised.
There was a Barnes & Noble walking distance. I remember that because you'd have to take...
Union Square-ish.
Yeah, I think it was on 10th. Yeah.
Yeah, Union Square-ish. I mean, Union Square, like 14th, between like 5th, 6th, Broadway.
I go to the Union Square... That like Christmas village every time I go back.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
When it's up during the winter. What made you make the move to the West Coast?
Weather.
Okay.
I came out. I mean, I would travel out west to Cali for all the time for work. Mm-hmm. But I never thought I would come here. And then I came for an extended period of time and I really liked it. And then I said, oh, I'm going to come back next winter again. I thought I would like winter here.
Right. Right, California. Okay.
But then I was like, well, that's not really the way I operate. I need to like stay in one spot for a bit. So I came back the second year and I decided to stay. So I stayed. And you know, just it's a different life than New York. I was just in New York last week for five days.
Ooh,
and like I loved
okay.
it again. And I'm like, okay, this is where I was, you know, spent a lot of my time. But I think when you step away from a big city, your whole just sort of like you slow down a little bit more, and then when you go back, you're not in that sort of cadence, and that's what I thought was happening. It was like, oh gosh, like I'm lacking the speed of New York. I was watching on someone sent me a TikTok video or Instagram video. I don't know where they all live anymore. Right? It's hard for me to keep up. But someone who like their TikTok bit is they rate New York walks. Like, that's a seven. They rate, like, how someone's walking through the streets of New York. And, you know, I would say I was a solid 9, you know. But when I went back for 5 nights, I feel like I slid down to, like, a 6.
Right.
I was like, oh, gosh, I can't keep up with these people anymore.
No, so, I get that. Because I feel like when I left New York for college, every time I would go back, I didn't really feel like I was a visitor because I grew up there. It didn't feel like I was a visitor. But now, as an adult, I do feel like a visitor when I go back.
Well, yeah. I mean, the goal is, ever since you are a New Yorker and you have New York roots, is you have to sort of like go back enough to kind of keep yourself in that, you know, zone. But, you know, I always think people, and listen, I was one who was never leaving. I was like, this is where I live forever.
Right.
But, you know, you try new things and you grow as people. And that's, you know, that's why I ended up here. And it's cool. I like it.
So you said that you traveled to California for work. So were they for in-person auditions or callbacks? How did that work?
Yes, that was back in the day.
Oh, back.
We were seeing people in-person auditions.
Right.
Now we don't do that anymore. Until the final callback for TV hosting. We're talking about TV hosting specifically.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask. I was going to ask you, have you ever cast someone without having physically met them in person to host?
Yeah. I would say it depends on the project. It depends on the project. So TV host casting is very personality driven. You do need to understand who the person is outside of the role of TV host, because you're a real person doing real things as a TV host. Mm-hmm. So it is important to sort of meet someone in person and get that sort of energy and vibe from them. But there are times where I have cast remotely, and we have locked in a host who we might not have met in person. But that doesn't always mean just me. Like, sometimes, like, I won't meet the person, but my client, who is the producer or the TV executive, will, right?
Okay, I see.
It really depends on the project. Like, so I do a lot of lifestyle casting. So there are some projects, lifestyle hosts. So there are some projects and projects in networks who, you know, for six episodes or so, it's not that important to delve that deep with somebody. Whereas mm-hmm. I have some clients, specifically in the home shopping space, like I do a lot of casting for QVC and HSN.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, because you're familiar with these spaces,
mm-hmm.
it's so personality driven and it so relies on the host authentically connecting with people that
yes.
if you don't meet in person, you are doing basically a disjustice to the process. Like, if
okay.
that is imperative. Like, I must eventually. I mean, we do a lot of narrowing down in TV host casting virtually mm-hmm. now. Now, back in the day, pre-pandemic, it was not. I mean, I would rent a room, I would rent a casting studio in New York and LA, and I would spend 3 days auditioning 30 people a day, which you're familiar with as an actor going into auditions back in the day. But
yeah.
now,
mm-hmm.
it's beginning to change a bit because of the Zooms and the
right
mm-hmm. all that, so the virtual stuff that I and my client can now, you know, do like mini sessions throughout a week, right? Or like, okay, let's say every Friday or every Tuesday from this time to this time, we mm-hmm. carve out 2 to 3 hours, and then I can see, you know, people that I want to see,
right?
But we can spend more time with them, right? Because we don't have a ticking clock on the room that we rented. People don't travel in for it anymore. So it allows so much flexibility. I know actors and TV hosts, etc., are getting very frustrated with having to sell tape and do everything virtual. But to be honest with you, if you really think about it, it does save a ton of time for both of us. Could you imagine driving to an audition in LA, six different auditions. I mean, you did it in the past.
I did it. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because when I was doing it, it was almost like, oh, I have to do this. And now looking back, I think of it as, oh, I got to do this. I got to drive to the Warner Brothers lot, park my car, get a badge, uh-huh. go audition, and then go to a little room in a building in Beverly Hills that was not on the lot but across town to audition for two lines and something else, you know.
Trust me, I've used those little buildings,
yeah, those
a lot for auditions. I mean, that's a whole thing. I mean, it
yeah.
also think it also it's like it's a budget issue too, like, you know,
yeah,
those rooms, and I, you know, I those rooms, unfortunately, those studios have probably, a lot of them have probably sort of unfortunately had to like scale back whatever it was because we're not using them as much anymore.
I think you're right, because the one that I used to frequent all of the time, it was CAZT, C-A-Z-T, I think, and that was in West Hollywood. My friend worked there, so when I would have an audition, I would see her at the front desk and I'd be like,
yeah, I mean, and imagine all the parking and the time and da da da.
Yeah.
So, like, so I guess, like, a takeaway for your audience is
mm-hmm.
Look at the way the industry rolls now when it comes to casting, specifically for me in the TV host space. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's designed to benefit both of us, right? Like, I'm not leaving my desk and you're not leaving your house.
Right.
So, but, mm-hmm. but what I was touching on, which I think is definitely happening in what I'm hearing from talent, is there is fatigue as far as like self-taping. And
yeah,
but it is what it is. It's like you kind of have to roll with the punches. This is the way the, and guess what, it might be completely different in a few years, right? So I think we have
right.
to always sort of roll with the changes. And me as a casting director, I'm always rolling with the changes just as much as you are as talent.
And I also think that for I mean, I guess not, I was going to say for hosting specifically, but so much is auditioned in Los Angeles or New York and filmed elsewhere. So I guess acting as well. But part of And I want to get more back into the casting of it after, or just casting in general. But I know personally, when I see the castings for QVC and HSN, that there's a, you know, moving requirement.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's filmed in Pennsylvania.
It's live and it's a whole cast. Right.
How far into the casting process do you prepare someone, say, like, hey, you might want to start moving or start looking, or you don't even until the very end, you're like, hey, you got to go?
I mean, everybody's aware that it's required before they submit.
Yeah, it's on the very first thing that I see it when you post it.
Yeah, that's put out right away, but no, not until...
Not until there's a contract signed.
Throughout the process, we're always reiterating it, so people know that there is a relocation involved. But like, I don't know where it's all going to land until they come and they audition and we see them in person. And there's lots of process that happens before the actual having to relocate.
And where is your final in-person audition now that you're in Palm Springs? And I assume people are submitting all over the U.S.
Oh, I do everything online. Oh, the final in-person? Again, it depends on the client. Like,
right.
You know, in the home shopping space, we meet them there, you know, but other, because I've cast for all the networks and not specifically just home shopping. Right. It could then be in a New York casting studio or a Los Angeles casting studio, or it could be the production offices. A lot of networks will have casting final callbacks in their own production offices.
Right.
So it really depends on like the client, their budget, how far should they want to move from their desk.
You know, right. A lot of things. I'll be honest. I have auditioned in New York and LA, and I feel like, I don't want to say the stakes are higher in New York, but I was more nervous in New York than LA. And that could have also been because, like, in New York, you have to worry about whether it's frigid outside and if you have to, like, warm up.
I was just going to say that to you. There's a lot of moving parts
that
come with New York. But there's a lot of moving parts in LA as well. I mean, you're dealing with cars and traffic.
Yeah, you need a car. You cannot live in LA and be an actor without a car.
I have auditioned people in Los Angeles and would get emails, you know, I'm 40 minutes behind because I'm coming from another audition. Whereas I don't know if that happens so much in New York. There's, you know, I think it's easier to predict your day in New York. Like, you know, you need to get from, you know, Soho to Midtown, you know, you're taking the A train and it's going to, you know, take 15 minutes because it's $6. Whereas on the West Coast, the stress is getting from location to location because people overschedule themselves so much in a day. I mean, if you're lucky, which is a nice thing. I mean, if you have more than one audition in a day, that's a positive.
Yeah. I mean, I remember those days. Now I feel like, I mean, I know the industry just in general, entertainment, a lot has changed, is changing. We're on the precipice of something, but I feel like I have not had two auditions that need to be filmed within the same day. I haven't had that. Have I had like two auditions in the span of a week that have different like due by dates? Yes. But okay.
You're talking about self-taping now, right?
Yes. Self-taping.
Which is the stress that I'm hearing from talent is, but I'm very aware of it. So like my guidelines say, you know, here's the deadline, right? Because the deadlines are also not to be like vicious in any way. The deadlines are like, I have to get your materials to the client by this time. So then they can make their decisions. And some of it depends on shoot dates, right? But like, if I'm working for a project that's taking a couple months or a couple weeks, I have more leeway with giving people deadlines. But my notes specifically say, if you're having a challenge with the deadline, please do let me know. Because what happens is, and this is a great takeaway for anyone who's listening who's an actor or talent, is people give up because they think they can't make the deadline. I can tell you about four emails that I've got this morning alone that are saying, hey, You said reach out to you if I have a problem with the deadline. I'm reaching out to you because I need one or two more days. And I have the leisure of telling them that's fine, right? Because right. I don't have a specific end that they need to have. I mean, there's a preference on what I wanted to get in by, but like I have the leisure to tell people, yes, you have a day or two. And guess what? Like it's makes people feel really great. It yeah. gives people more time to do what they need to do. I also don't need a lot of preparation for the host casting that I normally work on. Like I actually tell people not to over prepare. If I think if it was an acting audition, it'd be a little bit different because
yeah.
a lot of people reshoot and reshoot and reshoot and reshoot. I actually mm-hmm. prefer that you don't reshoot because I'm looking for authenticity, right? So right. like when I see people or hear about people reshooting a host audition, I'm like, oh, you don't have to do that because we like when the ball drops and you got to pick it back up, right? Whereas I guess okay. when you're playing a character, it's a little bit different. You're not playing a character as a TV host. So
right.
I don't like a lot of preparation because Ashley is auditioning to be my TV host. Ashley should just be Ashley. So if you're mm-hmm. going to reshoot Ashley 3 or 4 times, by the time I get the tape, it's not the Ashley that I'm probably going to want to hire. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. It's completely different. And you're also not reading a script when you're, yeah. well, you know, a host.
There's copy sometimes. I mean, you're, right. so there's various host sort of clients that I work with. There are the scripted ones, there's copy. And then we're talking about home shopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no copy, right? So that's just sharing a product that you love. Tell me all about it. So that's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. If you're going to reshoot that 3 times,
mm-hmm.
the third time is not a charm. It's actually a bust.
Right. So I think I have auditioned for you specifically for your HSN QVC casting probably 6 or 7 times. Yes.
So I guess what I want to hear from you is like, so how did that work for you when you took the session?
I think it, I mean, now that was before I started doing stand-up comedy. I think it was really helpful getting into comedy. Also I am hosting a podcast and I've had it for a little over a year and I think it's doing pretty well. I mean, you're here, but I also want to say it helped me with introducing myself to people because
okay, so, yeah, that's a good conversation to have because that's what is the hardest part for people is introductions, getting to know you. And people get a little scared when they have to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good that, yeah, because we did work on that. I work on that with a lot of people.
Yeah, we worked on just, it wasn't so much like, what do you want to be known for? It was more like, well, tell me about you. And I remember it was something along the lines of, which I used in, meetings and just common conversation with meeting friends of friends or people in general. But it was, hi, my name is Ashley. I am an actress, a stand-up comedian, and a cupcake connoisseur. I do not yeah. discriminate. I will eat any flavor. And it has always stuck with me because it's funny, but it's not ridiculous. And it sort of shows who I am a little bit. And
which is the goal. So when you're casting TV host, there's the reason why you're in the room, which is to either present a product for a home shopping network or to read copy for History Channel, Lifetime, Oxygen, MTV, VJ, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of that is we like to spend time with the talent to get to know them. So the only way I can do that is by chatting with you. So mm-hmm. I will ask the question, tell me a little bit about you, and people freeze. So what I do when I'm coaching with somebody is I work on the idea of embracing that. How do you talk about yourself confidently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a formula to it. And it's really an opportunity for us to get to know you as a real person versus you playing the role of the TV host.
Right. I think my first audition for you, I was definitely playing the role of TV host.
Which everybody does, so don't sweat it.
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 years ago at this point. It was
yeah. a while ago. I think a lot of people watch TV hosts, and then they'll watch the network that they're mm-hmm. auditioning for,
And I asked them to. It's a requirement. Before you come to your audition, I would like you to watch the network that you're auditioning for. But people get so hung up on replicating what they see. But we're not looking for the host that we already have. We're looking for new styles of hosts. So we would like you to come being authentically you versus playing the role of, which a lot of people do. It's very common.
Actually, that brings up an interesting thought. I mean, how has hosting and what you look for in a host changed over the years?
So hosting has always been pretty solid authenticity, right? It's always been like the number one and, you know, personality, or like, what is your superpower? What makes you special, right? But as the years go on and the screens have been shrinking and the social medias have been popping, everybody's sort of like talking in a more intimate fashion. And so I would say the authenticity is probably even more intense than it should have, than it was back in the day. Like, we were always looking for authenticity, but as the years go on, when people are in more in the social media space, it's more effective. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. It hasn't really changed a ton. I think the screens have been tricking really more than anything else. Personality is always personality, right? Looking for that sort of special sauce, that wow factor, that stopping power, right? A lot about TV hosting that I can teach you. And then there's a lot that you have to already have and bring to the table, right? Whereas it's constantly evolving, but I think at the end of the day, TV hosting at the end of the day is all about being truly yourself and not faking it, really.
That I feel like that's hard for people. I mean, it's easier said than done, you know, like, be yourself. But then, I don't know. Actually, I was just going to say that I watch a lot of reality TV, and everyone that listens to this podcast knows that, because I've had many episodes dedicated to different people on reality TV. They've come on, they've chatted, I've learned the ins and outs. I call myself a future Bravo celebrity. No one else calls me that, but I do. And have you found, or have you auditioned people that have come from that space, reality TV, so they're already comfortable speaking without a script on camera, as opposed to an actor coming in? I mean, has that happened?
Yeah, but for me, it's more skill set based. So, like, yes, reality TV, but more like the chef on a show, or judge from a show. Because I do a lot of fashion, I do a lot of cook, I do a lot of health and wellness, I do a lot of tech and electronics and beauty. I do a lot of beauty. I do a lot of home interior stuff. So it's really more people who have been like chefs from cooking competition shows, absolutely.
Yeah.
But not so much like reality, like ensemble pieces.
Right. I mean, like, not the Vanderpump Rules.
They have been in my inbox for sure.
Wait, really?
Not Vander. No, not specific.
No, sure, but like, I mean, like a reality.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I think, you know, people are on TV and they want to either build out their brand, or people, you know, absolutely. But I do more I deal more with experts, if that makes sense. So again, like, people who have been a judge or a chef or the interior designer on a show, or the makeup person on a show, more that than where the real people fall into place. They actually are. I've auditioned them in the past, and, you know, and it's not a right or a wrong. It's not a positive or a negative if you've been on a reality show.
Right.
For me, based on the project, right? Based on the project. So Everything in TV hosting is project based. So it's like, yes, TV hosting is a genre, but within it, they're all very different. They're all, their needs are different. Some networks don't want to work with people who've been on other shows before. Some networks don't care.
Okay, you know?
It's Oh, there goes your dog.
I know. We're having so many issues this episode. I apologize, everybody. It's a really good episode, though. I mean, I'm already learning a lot, but I just feel bad for all the background chaos. Okay, so then I just want to snowball off of that. Have you ever, two questions. One, have you ever made a casting decision that's moved forward? This person was cast, it filmed, and you watched it, and you thought, that was a mistake. This person's great, but absolutely not right for this, or this person's terrible. And second, I forgot the second question, so go with that one.
No. I mean, I think people fall into place the way it's supposed to fall into place.
Okay.
And there's a lot of process in casting that takes place. So, if I'm doing my job right,
mm-hmm.
The goal is to not, no.
So there's
a lot of time and space to play with people. Mm-hmm. And that's what casting is about, by the way. Casting isn't like to be like yes or no in a sort of like aggressive, mean way. Casting is opportunity for us to meet people and get to know them and put them in various situations, see if it works, see if it doesn't work. You know, that's what it's all about. So now I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. if we're doing the job correctly, the goal is to not, you know,
have any issues.
Yeah. You know, you never want that to happen. You know, we always are on, or at least me, I mean, for sure. I think, but, you know, my colleagues as well, we're always on the side of, you know, we're okay. So a casting director is really sort of filling in the space on two sides, right? It's like, we have our client who's the network or the producer or whatever that, mm-hmm. and then we have the talent who's coming in to audition for us. So like, it's my job to sort of work both angles, if that makes sense. Like I want my client to be happy, but I'm not bringing you in the room.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't think that it's going to work.
Have you ever pushed for someone that the network was just like, hey, we're just not into it. I'm sorry.
I don't think networks are that are not into it. They just might not think people might not be right. And yes, it is my job to sort of maybe, you know, share my thoughts. And mm-hmm. yeah, there's people that are on shows and networks and places that I've cast for who we didn't know was the right person until after a few times of sort of, you know, and people auditioned for things more than once, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
hello. I've auditioned for you 6 times or 7, whatever it is.
It's not a bad thing to audition more than once for a project. It's not
right.
Mm-hmm. People grow, people change, skill sets get better, mm-hmm. And those conversations happen after a casting. Like, you know what? Great, let's bring this person back in another year or so after they've had some time in this mm-hmm. space, or they've done this a little bit more, or they've done that a little bit more. I mean, that's the goal, is always to never dismiss. Like, I don't just, you know, dismiss. I'm always mm-hmm. cheerleading, always hoping to see somebody again. I'm hoping for them to get better. If I can help in any way for them to get better, I'm more than happy to do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's just the way I run my world. That's the way I cast, you know, it's.
Yeah. How did you get into casting?
I was in production off and on for years, you know, when I moved to graduate of college, the whole, you know, film and TV thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do it. Like, I actually reached out to casting directors looking to be their assistant, which I did. And this was in like 99.
Okay.
So I reached out to a casting director to see if she needed help. And she just happened to be very heavy in the TV hosting space.
Okay.
I started working with her. From there, I think, collaborated for years and years and years. I can name countless numbers of TV host projects. And then from there, sort of just kind of launched my own space. And I've been casting TV hosts since 1999. I also cast non-scripted. I cast in the reality space. I'd say less than TV hosts. Like I like casting TV hosts. I coach TV hosts. I teach mm-hmm. people how to do it. So it's like, you know, when you find something that you enjoy and you love and hopefully you're good at, you continue it, right? I do the reality. I do the non-scripted. I do commercials. I do it all. But my big chunk of my business is TV host casting.
Mm-hmm. And you prefer it that way, I would assume?
I think I just, it's just, it's the way the cookie crumbles. It's like, that's okay. What I cast. Uh-huh. Would I like to cast a feature film? Sure. Do I get a lot of those calls? Not so much, because there's other people who do it really, really well, right?
Sure.
Like, I do what I do really, really well. So if you need a TV host casting director, if you mm-hmm. need somebody in the home shopping space specifically, like, you might want to probably work with me versus somebody who hasn't done it as much. There's scripted films, TV shows, et cetera, that have their sort of pools. But mm-hmm. I will say that casting is niche. Like, you know, yeah. if you're doing commercials and that's your world, that's what you get called to do. If mm-hmm. you're doing features, that's your role. That's what you call to do. If you're doing, you know, off-Broadway theater, that's your role. That's what you call to do. But yes, do we intermingle? Do we, you know, collaborate and do other projects? Yes. But I think, like, my secret sauce, my mm-hmm. special sauce, if you will, it's not the secret. I'll tell you anything you need to know. But sauce is TV host casting with an emphasis on lifestyle. And if you want to say I have a niche, I would say it's home shopping specifically.
Right. Have you ever... this is probably going back to your in-person days of auditioning hosts, but have you ever had someone come in that just, I don't like using the term like blew it or bombed, but have you ever had someone that you were just like, hey, take a breath, let's start over.
Yes, that is what I love to do. If okay. I feel that somebody needs a moment, I will do that. Yes.
That's interesting. That's actually really kind.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you, is that the casting director is actually on the side of the talent as well as they are servicing the client.
Mm-hmm.
We are not bringing people into the room for the hell of it. Right? So if you've been invited into an audition, it is my job to help you. That's why we're called casting directors, right? We are directing the session. We are sort of, I would say, we're maneuvering the session. Right. Again, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, I got the client on one side and I got the talent in front of me. I'm there to service both. Right.
Right.
So, yes, if somebody is getting in a space where they need a moment or they need a reset, I'm 100% down. 100%.
So then, and so, OK, I've asked a few casting directors this question, and I think it's actually a disrespectful question, and I don't mean it to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When you get a self-tape or multiple self-tapes when you are on, you know, breakdowns, do you watch every single one?
Yes.
You do. Okay, that's actually the answer.
Why would I ask for the tape if I'm not going to watch it?
I don't know, because as an actor on our side, or as a host or comedian, not so much, because you don't really send in a casting tape. It's more like they hear a joke and they're like, you're kind of funny. But for acting, as an actor, we always talk and we're like, well, they might not even see my tape. So who knows?
Well, no, I'm not going to ask for a tape that I'm not going to watch.
Right.
I think the question is, how long do you watch them for? And it really depends.
Oh, wait. What is? Go and talk about that a little bit.
Well, it depends. Like, I know what the project is. I get hired for the project, so I know what it is. And so the tape comes in, and I know if this is a match or not. Again, it's not like I'm this stinks situation.
Mm-hmm.
I've invited you to make a tape because I want you to make a tape.
Right.
But I have the skill set to decipher if the tape is a match for the client. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm. It does. So,
yes, I do. I do watch every tape.
Okay. That's actually the answer that I've been receiving, which makes me really happy.
But again, I'm just saying, not every tape has to be screened the full way through. And I also want to stress to you, it might not have to be screened the full way through for two reasons. One is, okay, great, this person just might not be a match for what this client is looking for. And then the flip side is, this client is a match. I'm good with the first minute and a half has showed me that they are a match, so let's put them in that pile. So
right.
You know, that's why I'm saying not every single taste. And there's also, I mean, let me flip it on you. Like, there's guidelines on tapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask for a tape to be under a certain amount of time, and I'll get a tape that might be three times longer than it's supposed to be. So,
what? Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, like, well, I would love to watch the extra 10 minutes, but I can't, right?
Right.
Then it's also taking away from the time for the next tape. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I look at everything as an even playing field.
Okay.
Like Ashley's tape, Sean's tape, they both should follow the instructions. So then the casting director is able to get through all the other tapes that they've requested. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It definitely does.
Yeah, I think every casting director is watching tapes for sure. I mean,
I agree. I think I.
That's a job.
Right. That's literally what they say, that it's one, it's your job, and two, you're not going to waste your time.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see the tape. I like watching tapes. It's like the fun part.
Is it as fun as an in-person audition?
Well, no, I love in-person auditions because I like to engage. I like to get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
An in-person audition is a very different experience. I mean,
it's so different because I mean, like you're seeing each other. I mean, but like
there's also room for questions. There's room for direction.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, that's what callbacks are for also. So even though we're still living in a virtual space, the tape leads to a callback, and a callback, even virtually, is human interaction.
Right.
The callback is not, for me at least, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking for everybody, but a callback is not, for me specifically, is not make another tape with these notes.
Right.
If it's a callback for me, it's going to be a Zoom, Teams meeting, et cetera, callback. Now, is that the same as in person? Probably, yeah.
Right.
Because you have the same exact freedom in this little square that you do if you and I are in the same room. Now,
right.
The next phase for me would be, okay, we got to shake a hand. I gotta like feel your energy.
Right.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I can feel from a Zoom for sure. Like I can get an idea of somebody's vibe off of a Zoom. I can get somebody's vibe off of a telephone call, right?
That's right. Yeah, vibes are a constant, I think. You can definitely read someone's vibe just by like talking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I you know, I'm all about picking up a phone. I'm all about scheduling a call, whatever that might be.
Oh, so you talk on the phone with potential.
Well, depends on where you are in the phase. Like if I'm bringing you into a room, then yeah, I'm going to talk to you on the phone.
Okay.
Like if I'm getting you in a room for like a second callback or maybe even a third callback, yes, I'm getting on the phone with you.
How many callbacks until, because I know this is also different for every project, I understand.
Exactly. Yeah.
But how many callbacks, I guess, for QVC or HSN is standard?
I can't really answer that because it's so different.
It's different every single time.
It's different every time. It depends on how much, you know, do we want to, like, do we see potential? Yes, great. Let's bring them back and let's do this. Like with the home shopping space specifically, there's a lot of suggestion. Like, you know what, you might be better working in this category. Let's have you come back and, you know, present something a little bit more beauty focused and or come back and do something a little bit more culinary focused based on what we feel that the person sort of fits into, if that makes sense.
Oh, interesting. So
sorry, my
yay, it was you this time.
I literally thought I turned off, I guess, my text messages come into my Apple.
No, don't worry about it. At least it wasn't the ringing in my house or my dog barking or look at this beautiful cat behind me sleeping like an angel, not making any noise. Isn't she the cutest?
Yeah.
People that listen to this podcast are probably so annoyed with how much I bring up my cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I talk about her a lot. She's like one of my favorite topics. I could present her for my next audition.
No, we don't. That's so unpredictable.
That's actually a good that segue. Okay, so when the casting is to present your favorite household product, or that might be too vague. Okay, present your favorite beauty product. How's that? And someone brings in something that I don't even know if you could say you've never heard of it, but it's just so out of the ordinary. Is that something you take note? Is that anything worthwhile? Or I don't think worthwhile is the right word, but I mean, is that something that you take note of, or really you're like, okay, no, not really.
No, no,
it doesn't matter.
I think everybody's choice is appropriate for them.
So then why can't I present my beautiful angel kitty?
Because she can scratch you. That's
she would never scratch me.
Yeah, actually, don't, if you cannot use that question, because I think that's a little too specific for QVC and HSN.
Oh, don't use it. Okay, wait.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just write it. Minute 24. Okay. Minute 24. Okay. All right. Well, actually, we've been recording for about an hour, so we should probably wrap up, because I don't want people to, like, go crazy. An hour. Look at us. All right, let's come back in. Okay, we had like another technical difficulty, everybody. Sorry about that. So much is happening. Like, so much. It's a Thursday. Thursdays are insane. But Sean, we've been chatting for almost an hour. So I want you to let everybody know before you go where they can find you, follow you if you want them to, and if they need coaching for a future audition, for a future audition or meeting or callback, please let them know where they can go. I'll also link it.
Just coaching in general, I think is a benefit for people. It doesn't have to always be specific to an audition. Mm-hmm. I can coach people, just helping them understand the TV host space, which I think is helpful for people, because it is very different than auditioning for something scripted, especially if you're an actor or you're a comedian. I can sort of help people sort of uncover a lot of things that they might not understand happens in a host audition. Mm-hmm. I can also coach people who have auditions coming up, which is 100% doable. But my website is SeanDeSimone.com, SeanDeSimone, casting.com. On there, you can link to my various socials. The Instagram is Sean_DeSimone_casting, which is long. But even on the Facebook page, if you go to Sean DeSimone Casting Facebook group, that's where I post a lot of castings. On the Instagram, I post a lot of castings. And LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn profile.
LinkedIn, okay.
I also have a Sean DeSimone casting on LinkedIn, which is great. LinkedIn is a whole different space, right? It's a little bit more job oriented, less casting oriented, but there's lots of people in our space that are, you know, cruising the LinkedIn for opportunities.
Yeah, I've seen hosting opportunities on LinkedIn. And everybody, I follow Sean DeSimone so on my Instagram. So if you type in Sean, you'll find him under.
Oh, great. There you go.
Yeah. So don't worry about it.
Very helpful.
That's me. I aim to please. Thank you so much for coming on. This was very, very fun and interesting. I've coached with you before, and I can say I definitely learned a lot again.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.